Reed Hagen with Mike Vec, owner and president of the St. Paul Saints. Mike, thanks for stopping by at the studio today.
Thanks for having me. I absolutely love to come to, not only do I love to come to Stillwater, but I mean, a guy with a set of pipes like you got, I'm like, you know, we ought to go out and call Bowser and start a new band today.
Well, you know, you got a great set of pipes yourself. I love your promos and your commercials.
Well, you know, I'm not very talented on air, but I'm very cheap. You know, when you write the stuff, then I know my lines before I have to, so I don't have to practice much.
Well, great writing, because that's part of your other business is consulting and advertising, so it shows there. Anyway, let's talk about the St. Paul Saints. First off, I'll bet you don't know that the Saints, what was their third incarnation, which was in the teens up until 1960, back in 41 and 42, I think it was, we broadcast the Saints against the Millers with Marty O'Neill doing the play-by-play, who went on to All-Star Wrestling.
Well, God almighty, it's always that wrestling that plagues me. You know, I had a guy stand up once and go, if you just were half the man that Vince McMahon is, you'd be decent. I'm like, oh, man, I won't win any presents at our house.
Well, you know, I think you're a pretty good promoter. And what you've done, I mean, for a long time, there was no outdoor baseball. I mean, there is now with the Twins' new stadium, relatively new. But if folks wanted to, especially families, wanted to go to a game, it was a real treat. I've been out to many games out there over the years. And grandparents, parents, you know, grandkids, kids, it's just a fun family event. And not only the game, and that's why people go, is to watch these good ball players, great ball players in some cases, play great outdoor ball. But all the events that you come up with to make it just that much more fun and entertaining.
Well, you know, it was funny. I have talked to people over the years, and they always say, you know, they're very nice, and they say, what is it about the Saints? And, of course, the day I arrived in St. Paul, which was a kind of blustery day in November of 91, and that was the day we kind of drove the stake in the ground and decided that we were going to do this. And I'll never forget, a fella came up, and he said to me, what do you think about outdoor baseball? And I'd never heard the term before. You know, all baseball was outdoor. And suddenly I thought about it and I thought, oh, yeah, a dome. And I never expected that to impact the business. What I always thought and what I continue to think now is that it's a price niche and it's family entertainment. We try to make it a lot of fun and it's edgy. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I think always, I mean, the fact that 100 players, 100 St. Paul Saints players have gone back to major league organizations, 20 have gone back to the major leagues over 20 years. It's actually 17 or 18, but that's 20 in a Vec's book, you know. And so we became a talent, a supplier of talent for the big leagues, almost in secondary fashion. The whole first idea was to take every suggestion the fans made and implement it. I wanted to always operate a ball club where, unlike an affiliated, where you're subject to the commissioner's office and to the bylaws of major league teams, I wanted to try this thing called independent ball where every decision could be a reflection of what the fans wanted, and that's what built. This is a spectacular area for baseball. I mean, there's no... Forget the fact that Billy Peterson developed Dave Winfield and that Billy Peterson, developed Joe Mauer. This area is a hotbed for baseball, and we just happened to tap into that at the right time. And I'm always cognizant of that.
Well, baseball's been in your family. I didn't know until just today. I know about your father, but I didn't know your grandfather.
Yeah, they stopped robbing trains. And, you know, so my grandfather looked around and said, geez, I'm a bad newspaper guy, which is really true. My father used to love to tell the story. My grandfather wrote for the old Chicago American back when Chicago had 9 or 10 dailies. And he was a third grade educated man, my grandfather, William Lewis Vec from Boonville, Indiana. And he used to delight in killing the Wrigley family and the way they operated the Cubs. And one day his phone rang. He picked up the phone and he said hello, and it was Philip Wrigley. And he said, Mr. Vec, if you're so smart, I'd like you to come over and run the Cubs. And my grandfather said, I'll be right over. And 15 minutes later, he walked across the street, walked into his office, and he was president of the Cubs for the next 14 years.
It's amazing.
Much better president of the Cubs than he was a newspaper man.
And, of course, your father is legendary for the things he tried, the first black baseball player in the league. The story about the midget pitcher that he hired. He got into some trouble for that, didn't he?
Yeah, he was always in trouble. And, in fact, when my dad died, which was the second day of January in 1986, there was absolutely no representatives from Major League Baseball. My old man had annoyed everybody at one point or another, but he did so with the purest of spirit. He loved the game. He really did believe that people in the stands, and specifically in the bleachers, knew more about operating a ball club than the guys who were sportsmen who, you know, like to sit up behind under glass and own a ball club. And so he was an outspoken critic. He loved the fans. He didn't care for the other owners. And he used this bully pulpit called a ball club to further things that he believed in. You know, signing Lawrence Doby as the first black to play in the American League, which was much tougher than Jack Robinson had it. Jack Robinson was college educated. My dad bought Larry Doby from the Newark Eagles, and Satchel Paige at 42 became Rookie of the Year, which, you know, G.J. Taylor Spink wrote a letter saying that the only reason that Satchel Paige was the Rookie of the Year and that Vec hired him was because he was black and 42, and my father fired back a letter and said, that's right. If he'd been white, he'd have been pitching in the big leagues 15 years ago. So that was the... So, you know, he... My old man dead was a better operator than a lot of these guys are alive, and that still annoys him.
That's a compliment. I like that.
Well, they don't.
You have so many things coming up in the home games. Of course, Friday night fireworks, all the home games with fireworks on Fridays, which is fun. All the other events, and we could sit and probably talk for an hour about the gimmicks that you've done, the bobbleheads and the boats and all the other little items that sounded really innocent when it was bobblehead night, and then the bobblehead was the congressman and in the washroom at the airport.
$83 on eBay today and today only. You know, if I had any brains, I'd do a second running and just not tell anybody. You know, we'd be in the bobble foot business or the bobblehead business. Or I've been threatening my mother, telling her that we're going to do a bobble leg for my old man. You know, he had a wooden leg, and so we're going to slip him in somewhere. But, you know, people want to have fun. And who would have thought that after the money guys led us down the primrose path and the markets crashed in 2000, beginning in 2007, and then, of course, you know, there's just a minefield after minefield in 2008, Fun is Good was started simply because it was almost experimental and people attached themselves. Now it's become something very important in our lives. If you turn on the TV, you know, not so many companies have a history the way KLBB does, or the way the Saints go and back to their second and their third, you know, as you mentioned, incarnation. But you notice now, you watch television, bankers want to love you. Mm-hmm. They want to love you. They got 24/7 customer service. They only started that after their original way of taking your grandfather's farm failed. So, you know, fun is in short supply in our society, and the Saints are a constant reminder that come in here, enter these gates, and for 3 hours, let us be the balm that takes care of. You know, Patrick Royce loves to say, it's not about the baseball. And I love to say, you're right. That's exactly right, Patrick. It's about the joy.
My first Saints game, you'd been around a couple of years before I actually got to a game. And I'd heard some of the stories, and a bunch of us went to the game. Beautiful, beautiful day, and sitting out there. And it was the most odd thing that happened to me, because the nun that gives the...
Yeah, the massage.
I'm a Lutheran, and here's this tiny little old nun coming up and putting her hands on me. Can I give you a massage? Okay. I'm not watching a baseball game. getting a massage by a nun. And it was fun.
And since you brought it up, here's a great story about that nun. Opening day, June 1st, 1993, Bill Murray and my wife get the news that we have all the TV stations coming out to cover Sister Roz, the massaging nun. Her convent has decided that she can't wear the habit. She's telling me this. I'm like, sister, I'm a Catholic. The only way this gag is funny is if you're in a habit. They won't let me wear one, Mike. I said, well, we have to find one. And so Bill Murray and my wife are driving around looking for a costume shop, and we finally found one of those flying, you know, the flying nun outfits mm-hmm. at Sally Field Roar.
Yeah.
So that she's wearing that the first day. So the television, it's a funny gag. She called me up. We own the club in Fort Myers and run the Twin Spring Training. And I was down there operating, and I get this phone call, and this woman says, my name is Sister Roz, and I give massages. And I hung up the phone. I said, madam, I have enough of my own troubles. And she called back and said, if your spine is straight, you're more receptive to the word of the Lord. I said, I don't know about that, but it sounds like a good gag to me. Besides, he's from Fargo, man. You know, from Fargo. Who else? Peggy Lee.
Yep.
Sister Roz. There's a great duo.
Absolutely. Now, I got to ask you, because I'm sure you get asked this all the time about, you know, comedian actor Bill Murray. How did he get involved? You
know? He and my partner, Marv Goldklang, bought a ball club. They had the Salt Lake Trappers, and then after I had blown up some disco records in 1979, I hadn't worked in the big leagues or in baseball for 10 years, and in 1989, Murray and Goldklang and Schley bought the Miami Miracle, and Van Schley ended up on a plane next to Roland Heeman, the longtime general manager of the White Sox, and they're having a conversation, and Van Schley proudly says to Roland, Van Schley, we just bought the Miami Miracle. And Roland looked at him for a moment and said, well, Van, if you're dumb enough to buy the Miami Miracle, you're dumb enough to hire Mike Vec. He's hiding out down in Miami. And Murray then contributed and said, see if Vec's done pouting. He's only been out of baseball for 10 years. And they hired me. Marv Goldklang came down. And so they literally took a man's career, in this case, my career, and resurrected it, those three fellas. And I've never forgotten that, and nor will I ever forget that they gave me a chance when nobody would. I'd given up the thought of ever coming back to baseball any kind, any level.
Well, I love the idea of fun is good. I'd be amiss, though, if I didn't talk about the important things you've done for the community and the players have done for the community as well. Players getting involved in after-school talks and little baseball clinics and mentoring other children and, you know, the money that Saints have donated and done for the community in St. Paul. I know that's something you don't talk about that much or we hear about that much, but I think that's a very important thing that folks should realize.
A community does not need a ballpark, with all apologies to whether it's the Vikings or the Twins or the Saints, but a ballpark can't exist without a community. And it's the right thing for when we were attempting to get the new ballpark with the legislature, there was one thing that resonated with people, and that was a woman wrote a letter, and she said, in 15 years that I've been working for this particular company, every year I send a request to all of our sports clubs, and the only club that's responded every year are the St. Paul Saints. And we have never not contributed something to any cause, whatever it is that people ask for, and it's because we understand our place in the food chain. You know, there is no arrogance with the St. Paul Saints. Minor league baseball does not lend itself to huge egos and to, an exaggerated sense of self-import. And so you look at the communities in which you operate and you say, you know, we owe this. And when you look at, we've done 98% occupancy in 20 years, arguably the most famous minor league team in the history of the last 20 years in minor league baseball. And the fans have done it. And why shouldn't we do it? It's the right thing to do. And so it's nice to, that you mention it, but it's what people should do.
Well,
it's just, and it's good business, but it's what we should do.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to airing the games here on KLBB. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to being out there for many of the games, folks from the radio station here. Once again, I know you're a busy guy, and you just get in town today or yesterday?
Yeah, I came in and almost suggested, you know, look, you all have tremendous staying power. KLBB has tremendous staying power, and it seems only natural that we should combine our resources. Our customers are the same thing. We both have that kind of blend of progressive with some nostalgia thrown in, which I happen to think is one of the most important blends that you can have. If you look at baseball, what Major League Baseball right now is trying to do so desperately is to bridge technology and tradition. And it's something that comes easier, certainly to you, than it does to baseball, because of the music and because of every musician tips his hat to Satchmo, and there is nobody who could phrase like Sinatra. And so everyone owes a debt. But that's true in baseball, too. It's just not as apparent because music is more universal and baseball is a little more vertical. But I'm excited. I think it's a great fit, and I'm thrilled.
I think you got one heck of an announcer in Sean Aronson, too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking about it over here. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, which is always why I always say these things.
Say whatever you want.
Sean was we were very close to losing Sean for a great double-A job, and, of course, we wanted him to get that job, but I was very torn. I'm going, yeah, you got to get out of here, Sean. Oh, I hope he doesn't get it. Hey, I want you to get out of here, baby. I don't know if you'll like Texas. Hey, I'm not supposed to say where it was. That's right. But anyhow, I, you know, coming up here, Sean and I rode up, and not only is he a really wonderful fellow, and very erudite, but he's got a great set of pipes, and he's going to have a great and long career. Yeah. And it won't always be with the Saints, but he'll remember where he came from.
Certainly wish him the best and look forward to seeing the Saints on a winning streak all year long. Mike, thank you so much for taking time to come in today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.